pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we have the roll call, please.
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman? And Councilmember Edelman is excused for tonight. Councilmember Benson?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Okay, we're on to agenda item number one. That's an executive session as authorized by RCW 42.30.140. Section 4, to discuss collective bargaining. The executive session is expected to last 30 minutes with no action to follow. I'm going to ask that everyone step out to the hall. About 6:31. To item number two, it's a work session on the 2015 preliminary budget. Mrs. Miller, can you discuss the budget with council?
Sure. Tonight, I had three areas I wanted to talk about. One is have plenty of time for you guys to answer questions. Percentages will change again as we get those numbers into the system. But I wanted to run all these by you tonight and let you know what the few changes were. The second item that we talked about at public safety was the King County Fire Inspection Fee. We had a budget in there of $4,000. And after further research and looking at what their website showed for Kent, we feel comfortable to reduce that down. So that will save another $4,000 in that area. The other thing the public safety committee discussed was adding the hours for the police reserve officers for 6 months. That was discussed. We felt that the cost benefit was very beneficial for the amount of good and hours that we get for that small amount of money. So I'm suggesting we use some of the savings to cover that. And then that we add the balance of that to a legal service. That was kind of the other area we talked about. Maybe even another legal. If you go to the following page, I have a big worksheet on legal that shows in the first column what all of our legal expenditures were in 2013 and what we have budgeted in 2014, how much we paid through October, what I think it'll be through December, and what our next year budget is. So you'll see that line one, which is our general legal, which is the percentage of Ms. Morris Law's firm. We're going from an amount in 2013 of $43,936 to about $50,000, and I even calculated the hours a month that is for her at her hourly rate. The employment issues that we're budgeting $4,000, that's 15 hours total, and that's not union negotiation, but other issues that might come up. Labor and contract, the third line down, you can see through 2014, I think we'll spend about almost $32,000 this year. Hopefully, most of the police union contract will be negotiated and a portion of the Teamsters by December, and the majority of the cost will be paid this year, but that's where I added the extra money for next year. So I brought that budget up to $13,400, which is kind of double what we had in 2013. It isn't a lot of hours, and that's another an area that's still lean. And, right now, if what Morris Law is charging for their monthly show that we may be under the $50,000 for the general government portion of that for next year. So there may be some room in that budget because the amount of hours she's putting in is less than what we have budgeted there. So we may be able to allocate some of that down to the union and contract negotiation dollar amount. That is only a portion of her fee down below where you see street, water, sewer, storm. That's the balance of her monthly regular fee. Meetings and contract issues and ordinance reviews and contract reviews and all that. We just charge that for one number and allocate a percent out. So we've kept street budget very close to what it was in 2013, also water, sewer, and storm. And I believe those are adequate based on the hours that are coming through on the bills right now. What happened is the first part of the year we were paying a much higher rate to Foster Pepper, and they had a lot more time spent. So it kind of skews what we're spending this year, and it's difficult then to say what will our overall bill be next year. But I believe right now there's adequate money. There's certainly not a surplus of funds in there. And then down below I have the public defender, and you can see that's increased. And again, that has to do with partly with the state and partly with the new contract that we have negotiated, bid, and and then the prosecution stayed the same. That's kind of the whole area that we have legal. And I pulled out some kind of the one-time only things that we didn't rebudget. We do have $4,000 in there for just miscellaneous lawsuits. Some years we have none. Somebody might file a claim or something. Usually it's very small because we have insurance. And usually it's this is still our legal reason. Significant hours, but I think Ms. Morris has been very good to tell us if she feels there's going to be extra time and come back and appropriate a budget for it if we're going to have to spend something like that and decide where those funds will come from. So overall, we have a total budget for all the legal right now of $190,200 compared to $143,000 in 2013. So it is higher than what we spent that year. But it's certainly not excessive. with the new numbers, with those adjustments made, so I have adjusted the court, police, legal, and fire for those minor amounts. So I just, the patch that worksheet wasn't necessarily going to go over it unless you had any questions on that page. No. The dollar amount stayed identical. We didn't increase the budget in the dollar. We just reduced it in those two areas and increased the other two areas. So it's still significantly the same as what I had before.
Yes, Ron. Okay.
The next page is, again,
good night.
I just changed the numbers so they would follow through on all pages. It hasn't changed at all from what I handed out last time and whatever last time. Again, it just shows what the public safety revenue is and what we're showing the costs are to govern and what the general government revenue is in the middle column on the right and what expenditures are being covered there and then how much Yarrow Bay is covering out of both the core and the MDR. So you can see if there's a line that has, different pieces, you'll see how much the funding agreement is funding through the 2.65 months and how much the general funding is funding out in various positions.
In the finance area, Mary, mm-hmm. What did you cut out that $98,000?
In the finance department, we're $10,000 of it is a reimbursement from Yarrow Bay for MDIRT, so we'll decrease our expenditure and charge the MDIRT budget. And then the balance of it is allocation to the utility funds. And I've got a page.
So most
Which
of that
is
money
fair.
Is just swimming around.
Because they do that work.
Yes.
Right.
We do all the street report and we do all the budgets and payrolls and pay all the vouchers and do all the projects and all that for those departments. We hadn't been allocating before because Yarrow Bay was paying 100%, but now that they're not, and we probably should have, but we had to just move the revenue over there. So it just made extra accounting. I did reduce that allocation. It was 80% to begin with, and we reduced it down to 72%. So that it would not be as severe of an impact to the utility. Information services, I did want to mention that. That is not a reduction in service. That's just cutting the budget down to what the actual cost have been for what Auburn is doing for us, Auburn and the Vision County. We had budgeted a little bit high because we didn't know what the startup cost would be, and we didn't know, what all the special callback parts would be in that contract. But now that we've gotten through almost a whole year and we've been able to track those monthly amounts, we pulled the budget down to what the monthly amounts of the billing are, and that covers not only our budget but the police budget. So the amount that's left in there is sufficient for that contract.
It's settled down. It's pretty predictable.
So, what is it going to cost to move out of the building into the other building?
We haven't figured all that out yet. We haven't started. We're just working right now on all the numbers in the budget, but I've got the reduction figured out, but as far as what remodel or whatever type costs we might have to do, we haven't done that yet.
But you have somewhere in the budget to cover?
Well, we still have that $7,500, or we still have some of that money from the roof remodel. And I don't know. We're going to have to really be kept cautious with what we do.
Hang up sheets between them.
Usually we pay for those out of the REIT funds, and there's, a little money in there, but not a significant amount. And we'll be going over some of those budgets next week. new page, and that's where it talked about, let's look at it like we're a government, what services do we provide as a government, what functions? And our number one priority is public safety, I think, as it is with most governments. We have development of the community, and that's not only our planning and community development, but also the MDRT cost in that. And next page will show all the details, but I just want to summarize. And then the maintenance of the buildings, grounds, and equipment is, you know, our rent and utilities and all the costs we have, and also the technology costs for keeping our computer equipment. Legislative and administration, you can see that only has 29,000. That's really all, pretty much all we have is the legislative budgets in there. Support services is city clerk, finance. Central service, where we buy all the paper and whatever. And that is that amount. And then legal is, you know, what we're paying for Morris and also for Sun. And so if you go to the next page, you'll see all the different breakdowns that come up to those totals. So you'll see all the different divisions I put, charges I put in public safety and community development and building maintenance and grounds. So each one of those is more detailed. Really increased or decreased. And I think community development is especially important one to look at. It's the second little group where community development, natural resources combined is decreased, economic development decreased, and natural resources definitely decreased. Because last year we had a half year of position, and this year none in that area. The increase is the MDRT. Go to the very next page, you'll see the pie chart that shows how that looks to a citizen. 57% is for public safety, the beginning. And you'll see, oh, I guess MDRT isn't named. The brown kind of one is the MDRT. Didn't be named. We did that just right at the very end. You see the legal, the legislative administration, building and grounds. Oh, that isn't. Oh, that's community development. Yeah, he pulled MDRT out and titled it. I don't know what that is. I apologize for that. We did that crap for it. Very last news on that program.
Well, it is community development because it isn't on here.
Right.
Oh, no.
No, community development is that light green.
So what's missing?
I think what that is I think that brown is support services, that 10%.
Yeah, you're right.
And then the legal services is the 2%, the blue.
Yeah. Right.
Because there's...
Oh, and support services is supposed to be over here.
That orange, yes.
Can I talk just a little bit about property taxes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody just got a huge jump in property taxes this last time. So what exactly, if we raise it 1%, what does the city get? I mean, how much?
We'll get about, let's see. If you go back to page 3, line 2. We get $14,220. From all the citizens and all the businesses.
I know right now we certainly could use any money we can, but I also look at, it was a huge jump in property taxes for Black Diamond.
That's because King County can do whatever they want to do.
Well, I know, but I mean,
we don't have any control over that.
The citizens trying to pay these property taxes, and then we as council then turn around and raise it again. And I know that.
But the cost of living goes up more than 1% every year. So it doesn't make any sense not to at least get our 1% because cost of living. Yeah,
right.
It doesn't make any sense not to.
I'm just saying that it was a.
You're stepping backwards.
We're going backwards every single year.
And she'll address that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
There's a built-in deficit.
Raise.
Well, what we need to do is we need to think a little bit about, for the citizens, where this sweet spot is. Also, the more their taxes go up, the more their property value goes up because of the developmental potential, because of what's on our books, the less able they are to go out and buy food and clothes and eat out in town. And I mean, that kills, you know, at a certain point, you're killing your business as well when you do that.
The property tax, I do have a copy of last week's charts. And I know the property tax for the city of Black Diamond has only gone up, you know, those 1% or any adjustments or odd things that come through. It's stayed, you know, pretty flat on what we get from dollars. Mm-hmm. What the property tax itself, the biggest portion goes to the schools. And if the schools pass levies that people vote for, that increases the person's property tax bill pretty significantly. So even King
County.
It has
nothing to do with us.
I understand that.
Even King County.
Well, that's not
100%.
That's well, and that school bond issue passed this year for Tahoma High School. So that makes property taxes go up for anybody that's in the Tahoma
school
district.
But of course, we're not in.
No.
Some residents
are not in Tahoma school district.
Yes, and Enumclaw hasn't passed a bond issue in 200 million years. So. Or somewhere in that neighborhood.
And they may not.
Ever.
And I'll be bringing, we posted the property tax information on the city's website, because it'll be coming before you. We have a public hearing on the November 6th.
Right. Okay.
And I'll have a bunch of handouts night that'll come out in the packet that'll show. Because I think our property tax kind of said $50 a month or something, that, you know, what an average citizen. But I didn't bring that with me tonight. So.
Can't be that much.
So, any other questions, or I can move on?
What page are you on?
Okay. Yeah, I did the. Sorry about the graph. That was 7. So, page 8 was just the cuts, and that has not changed since we brought it before you. It just shows that the 2.6 months of revenue from line 20 through line 33. So that's the 2.6 months that they're going to give us. The amounts above that is the MDIRT and Brenda's position, which depends on all year. And also, not only their position, but their building costs. Brenda's position is for the MDIRT position.
What year, Brenda, was it that we did 13 furlough days?
2009.
And what was the effect of that? I mean, you know, you had employees out for those 13 days, closed offices.
No, we did not have closed offices.
You just had some employees.
They used it like vacation. But, you know, with that many days, it kind of put a burden on other staff because they still had their regular vacation too, so you're still open, so people are still trying to pick up what they do at the same time. Once we went down to, I believe it was 5 furlough days under Mayor Olness, that's when we actually went and we started shutting down on the 5 days a year, and then went to 4 days, and then the last couple of years it's been 2 years back to back.
And most of these 10-day furlough days will be around holidays, correct?
I'm assuming that's what the mayor is in charge of picking those, but he's indicated that's how he is planning to administer those, is around holidays.
So you have less people that will be coming in and
asking for asking for, you know, people using vacation time around those too, because
right.
You've already allowed them a little extra time. But you are 100% correct. The public declines around holidays because they're out, you know, vacationing as well too.
So I'm thinking 5 days City Hall closed, and then 5 days that the employees can float across the whole year. less of a hardship.
Could definitely be a hardship on the other employees that are.
It is. I mean, it does with workload, especially, yeah, when they're not designated closed days. It does designate down to the other employees having to step in and fill those positions.
And the positions listed on this page are showing the effect of the 10-day furlough. So we just accept for the under. But all the other positions in the secondary. I did want to mention, I do have a 2016 column on there. 2016, we don't know what the MDIRT budget will be. We don't know if they will fund Brenda's position or not. But we do know that the fiscal analysis that they do shows that they were going to pay around $880 a year to make sure we're fiscally sound, because we have the reduction and we also have the fiscal part of that. And so probably the MDIRT and whatever they don't fund may need to come up to that $880, or at the end of the year, according to Mr. Young, our fiscal representative, they will cut us a check for the difference, because they have to, over time, meet this dollar amount. And every year they'll recalculate that, but that's using their numbers on their worksheet. That's what the amount came up to. So, just to say they're not going to fund any more than the MDIRT next year, I think, is probably not true, although I don't know what the MDIRT budget will be if they start growing and have to add more staff that may use all the MDIRT. But anyway, I just want to mention that there is also a fiscal piece to this, too, in that whole fiscal analysis. That makes it even more confusing. more difficult. I just showed at the very worst case scenario on that column, but I don't really think it will be that drastic if we're not ramped up and doing a lot of activity. So I did do some long-term forecasts, and those are, again, I took the basis that we had last year, and I updated 2013 with all the actuals. So we were starting there, used the actual 2014 budgets, and then forecast those forward. 2015 is the balance numbers out of all the balance pages there, showing that total amount if you go back to page one. The future years, I did the property tax at 1%. I did the other revenues at 2%. Some of them, you know, some years sales tax may grow more than that if there's more activity out there. But I want to be conservative. I don't want to say, oh, things could grow higher. On the same side, I put all the expenditure sides in at 2%. And again, if you look at the public safety area, I was saying it's not just staff. It's ValleyCom. It's jail. It's all those other prosecution. It's all the other costs and wages. So keeping it at 2% means that's benefits, that's everything. You'd have to really make sure you're really keeping holding costs down or making cuts in areas so that you are holding it down to the 2%. And that's what we tried to forecast out last year and again this year. With both of those, if we just say, oh, the funding agreement is not going to do this anymore, so I needed to measure what is the effect if funding agreement just stays like it is right now. So if you see on line 8, I just said, okay, it's not going to reduce anymore. Just to measure, do we have deficit before we start? And we do. If you go down to line 21, we're going to have to cut $50,000, $100,000, and another $50,000 just to keep our fund balance over the next few years. That is a built-in deficit because the public safety costs are such a large part of the budget, and that 1% property tax is not keeping up with that. And if you go back and you remember Mr. Goodwin coming to the meetings talking about those built-in deficits, that every few years you're going to be so out of balance, you're either going to have big revenue increases or big cuts or go out for a new bond issue. And those are all, you know, possibilities as we move forward. But I needed to be able to put this down and say, well, you know, just because we want to look for long range, I've got to look at it before cuts and then after cuts to see how that might look. So it's a built-in deficit over time. So I took that line out and said, what do you want to do? And it just showed us pulling the fund balance down about 5%. We can't do that. So the next page, I said, okay, well, what if we looked at revenue? Check and the building permit fees. I looked, well, what else could we do? I didn't put in a B&O, but I did go in on line 6 and I said, well, what if we pick up that utility tax from our Black Diamond residents that are in the water district? What if we begin collecting that next year? I believe that lawsuit is settled now, and that's a very real possibility. What if we also added 2% to water, sewer, and stormwater? That would make water 8% utility tax, sewer 8%, and stormwater 20%. So down at the bottom, I calculated out that it's $2.80 a month, or
it's right down here.
$33.60 a year.
Also note that the scale, we tried to make all the graphs the same, but this one.
That one did not.
So remember that the visual representation here is skewed.
That I told
him. The scale is
different. Because he did change all the scales.
That's why it looks different.
Yes. That's why it looks more severe. So anyway, you can see the revenues that I put in. And, you know, if you start in 2015 or even if you start in 2016, the sooner you can start an additional revenue, the more it offsets the need for cuts. I show that. Reduces the cuts then in about half. Still doesn't make up all of it, and there still may need to be some adjustments down the road. Or there may be new revenues, who knows? But this is what I put in there. It doesn't show any growth or anything, it just shows some possible revenues. Again, I have no idea what the total amount will be on different fees. And there, I didn't put the cemetery and all that in, although you could say my plan check and all that's a little high. That probably covers the increase in cemetery fees and some of the other fees that might be. Then I did another one that said, well, what if the funding goes completely down to zero and all they do is enter, that's on page line 8. That's the worst case scenario. And we already had our built-in deficit. The combination of the two is then we have a $200,000 built-in deficit from just our ongoing structure and another $300,000 that we would have to cut out for the funding agreement. That's if Brenda's position or even the reserve were not funded from the fiscal agreement. I think this is the very, very worst case scenario. Don't really think this is realistic at all, but I wanted to put it out there and say, well, what would the worst case, absolute worst case scenario be? I believe that funding agreement will still need to keep their guarantee amount in there for a few years until they start having more growth. And as they have more growth, then they'll need it with the younger portion. Then I did the last one, and I said, well, what if we had the fees and we started some growth in 2017? And I added line 6, new construction sales tax, if we just built 100 homes. And how much would that be? And then I didn't even add any more homes out in the future, just carry 100 homes each year. So that would be, 400 homes in 4 years. And that we would begin selling those on line 4 in 2018. That you don't sell on the day you build them, that you don't get property tax until they're sold and on the notice. that then completely takes out all the deficits. So it's amazing what the different scenarios do to this. So, I did on line 11 and 12, I did say this will have an 880 guarantee so that the funding agreement on 13 would continue to fund some portion of, say, Brenda's position until they reach their 880 maximum. So if you add 12 and 13 together, that adds up to 880 maximum, which I think is more realistic out into the future. It just shows, I did check with Mr. Williamson to see when do they expect maybe to have building permits, and he was, I was told probably late 2016. So I said, okay, well, let's put 2017 in there. Because again, I want to be conservative on this, you know, pie in the sky. But I think these are conservative numbers, and you can see how much growth really helps the budget. And it would, on line 30, the fund balance before the revenue to sales tax starts would go down to 11%, and 10% is our amount we need to keep. And in the following year, it would restore and be back up to 14%, which is higher than the amount we need, but still an amount I think we need to strive for. You can see the percents on line 33. I'm trying to keep that in there. At least 13% fund balance. And there was, if these things occurred, or combinations of things occurred, there wouldn't be a deficit. So again, it's hard to come out and say exactly what's going to happen next year. But I gave you some different scenarios of different things that might happen. Part of it did look at some revenue increases, though. And I did look at what other cities I can bring back. Some other cities have raised their own utility rates up to 15, even 20%. I think that's pretty high.
Yeah, there's even some at 30, but
yeah, but still it was only.
But the average is still around 6, I think.
And if it helps protect public safety and our other core functions, maybe it's worth $2. I don't know. It's $33.60 a year. And I took each utility. I know how many customers we have and what we get now for our 6%. So I was able to calculate those amounts out. But I think it's really helpful, though, to look at the fees right now that we're looking at. Flight Jack and Building Permit, Cemetery, all of our different fees that we have in place. This year's budget's in place. Without additional revenue, but if there is opportunity for additional revenue, that can
I think building permits is the biggest issue right now.
The sooner we do any increases, the more long-term benefit you have. And then the last page is I went back in the old folder was collecting sales tax data in 2006 through 2009, and that's when we were doing the Eagle Creek, and I think they built. I know at 1 year we had 18 homes, I believe, and you can see that by 2009 we were done with all that, and we were down to 250,000 a year. But you can see in those other years how much we got from just that small development year, how much our sales tax was in 2007, 6, and 8. And it, you can see also that it came kind of from the July into the fall months. Lag. I can see
that's
that
when they sell it before they go to school.
See that trend, and that's from new construction materials. <after that. clears throat> So this year's general fund, you know, is it was difficult to get balance. We had a lot of cuts 10% would only be $400,000. So we have some room in there. We have something unexpected.
Does council have any questions for Mrs. Miller?
No, not right now.
And my office is open for me anytime. I've got, you know, way a lot of lower levels of detail in any one area or all the different areas. We went, you know, like we looked up every revenue line we could to see. And again, I don't want to count revenues that we don't think we're going to get. And we were very cautious on the expenditure side of the budget. Most departments went in there, and even though we cut every year, even cut additional monies this year.
We're now on agenda item number 3. A work session on the comprehensive plan update options. And I have Mr. Nix here to brief us on that.
You have packet material. I also included a cover letter there as well. Regard to what my intent was to do on this. As you recall, this was started by a previous city administrator as well as a previous director. I tried to build off at least what I understood we wanted to do in the future on this. I have scaled it back, although the price tag is still pretty hefty. with the focus on what I've heard are the important elements in forecasting growth in the next 20 years, transportation being one, capital facilities being another. I've tried to, the best that I can, build off work that's being done by the master developer while trying to maintain a little bit of independence away from that piece so that we can have a plan that's conducive to the community, if you will. Not that they aren't an integral part of it. They are part of it, so I just want to make that clear. What I've included for you also, and this was not included in your packet, the transportation piece obviously being significant, I did not include, and I don't think Mrs. Welsh or others included a little cross-section of the actual transportation firm that they're proposing to utilize as well. So this is at least some information for you and the staff that they have. This would be a sub to Berger Avon with regard to what they can and can't do. I do. It's just that there's no money.
That was good.
I wasn't trying to be humorous, but I guess I was.
She likes it if it's on the fake money for her.
Well, yeah. So you'll see the outline. Now, also keep in mind, at the time when I was working heavily on this, we had a planning director and me as a natural resources director. That is not happening now. And also you'll see, at least in the current budget proposal, I will be losing my planning help also come March of next year. So any additional piece as far as to help me complete what I need to do to help this, that's another piece, as well as the 50% that I'm being funded through the MDRT, of which 20 hours needs to go to processing those things. So I just want you to keep that in perspective. I've really tried, at least the initial number that I got back before Stacy put this number well above $200,000. So I've really tried to scale this back the best that I can. To give you some perspective, the comp plan that was done in 2009, I think Andy likes to call it the make, no, okay, never mind. The Mako plan. That one cost the city at that time about $90K to put together. So that was, I know it's a lot of money, and I feel silly for saying, you know, that to try to bring that in perspective, but that's just the fiscal realities of what this kind of stuff we have to deal with going through GMA. Again, I want to try my best, and I've talked with Carol Morris. We're going to try to update as much of the development regulations we can, her and I by ourselves, without utilizing consultants. And she's very good at it. You will be getting a new SEPA code here very shortly. You will also be getting a new comp plan amendment process coming forward, of which we're going to have Planning Commission are having public hearings on November 11th on those sections of code. So we're going to try our best in the next year to get as much as we can ourselves and not.
Well, and this is from her email, too, that she has a list of 15 and.
Right. So that, you know, and in my conversations with her, it's been, she's going to try to integrate this into her general fee with regard to city attorney services. Okay. So that was what she expressed, whether that's true or not. As things, as they probably will be, become or be controversial, that just means more time that she'll have to be engaged in that. I will try to do the best that I can with what I got, but just keep that in
and
mind.
I'm thinking, is our, you know, if we do an annual comp plan amendment, are those annual or biannual?
They are annual. Okay. So, and we have.
So, if there's things that we don't get to, that we don't get to, or that we need to hang, put some placeholder thing in there.
Well, the state law says by June 30th you will have this done.
Yeah. I know.
And that means, based on the update that they proposed, you had to do when the legislature met and said you have to have that.
I get that. I get that, but there still might be little things that are carried over or not thought out real well the first time around, and that it gives you a chance to.
As I said in my memo, I talked to Commerce. They basically told me what the bottom line is. If you don't make that deadline, you will not be, additional state funds will not be made available to you until you're back in the compliance.
That's right. I've been
it's there. Not retroactive like some people think. It's not like you got your tip, your TIB money, they're going to take it back from you. From that point on you get no more. So, just some perspective. May it also produce something here last week, and may I do want to, you may already have it, but still. Go ahead, I got a ton of copy. This is what May has done as far as put together some numbers of how we might pay for this coming up. And May, I'm not the expert at this. I'll let you go for it, right, if that's okay.
Right. We started last year's budget at $74,000. And of that, we put $50,000 in from REAP, and then water, sewer, and storm each transferred in five. And then we had a total grant of $18,000, but we only put half of it because we knew it was starting over 2015. So we have those funds available. Down below, we've already spent $12,483 of that money. So the bottom line there in 2014 means we have $61,000 that we're going to be able to carry over into next year's budget of cash available that we've got from these sources. We're still going to get our other $9,000 from grant in the 2015 column. And to be able to come up with the amount that they were saying, I looked at the REIT one, and we still have some grant matching money in there. We can reallocate that to this project. We could reallocate some $5,000 that's sitting there from Park Signs, and then we would have to additionally come up give them a budget next year of $157,487. And you'll see that in the 2 years added together, that really makes the whole project about $170,000. So we're not too far off from the $200,000 that I know was original request. Down below, I did put $20,000 in for Ms. Morris for legal. She estimated that's how much time and money our budget was to be tight. So I included that much time for her to assist with this project, in addition to Berger Abram.
I did talk with Berger Abram this morning about time frames based on the scope. Collectively looking at this, we're thinking about 12 months, best case scenario to get through this.
So
that puts us in November.
So that, yeah, we'll be getting really close to the deadline. On
we'll
that,
be past it.
Oh, what?
The deadline is June 30th. So.
So what does that mean?
The grant money piece, until we can get it back into compliance, and basically that's something adopted by the council and approved by Congress. Similar to what we did with our shoreline plan, you guys get it adopted, and Commerce has to approve it in mm-hmm. this case. So, similar type of process. Again, I'll fast track it as the best that I can based on the resources. Keep in mind, just to let you know, because you don't get informed about a lot of that stuff. We do have some current planning things that are happening. This has been, and I know I've told you this, one of the busiest years we've had since I've been here. Mm-hmm. We do have a 38-lot parcel that we're having a pre-application meeting outside of the MPDs in the next couple weeks. We also have a group that's actively pushing to absorb the properties next to the library in order to build a church, and not a small one. It's like 16,000 square feet of three different parcels. So that's like a commercial building mm-hmm. in essence. So just mm-hmm. keep that in mind from a planning perspective. That is work. And it's not, you know, well, we just flip it around. No, we spend hundreds of hours processing these things so that we can do the public comments, we can do all of that stuff. So just keep that in mind. The mayor, we had talked a little bit about current planning and processes that we could try to get some better cost recovery on that. Instead of permit fees, some of the discussions were cost recovery in the sense that we have a permit planner that is basically a contract person, and they work on these projects based on the amount of time they put into it. So a typical SEPA, 20 hours, $100 an hour, that's $2,000 that's going to be going to the applicant that they'll have to pay, plus 10%. That's how our fee schedule works. And that's the only way, in my mind, that I can see at this point to keep up with the work. We will try. State law gives us on a lot of these land use permits, 120 days. We're going to do our best to make sure that we meet that. But just some of the tough fiscal realities that we're going to deal with the next year.
So Commerce gave us some grant money?
They did.
Yes,
it was
18,000 total. We've already received 9,000 of that. And we do some more work, we'll be able to reimburse and get.
You're telling us that they'll slide the time, but we won't be able to.
They won't slide the time. I went to state law, and it specifically says cities under 5,000 population, if you haven't grown within the past 20 mm-hmm. years, which we really haven't,
right,
you get kicked to 2017. Well, I didn't see the line. It says not applicable to Puget Sound area cities.
Okay.
King County, Pierce County.
Okay, yeah, because the King County has to have our plan.
I tried, they said no. They are aware, and the gentleman Ike that came to the council meeting, they know what we're up against, and they've offered often to be as much help to us as they can.
So what sort of things could they do for us?
Hoping that they could do some of the regulation review,
okay,
that kind of stuff,
okay,
maybe some of the attorney stuff. But, you know, we'll see. Anthony was Buscola, who is our commerce person, was also the person that was our shoreline person. So I, him and I have a very good working relationship.
Good.
He's knowledgeable in this stuff.
Good.
I think he could help.
Good.
And there's no way Berger Avam is going to get it done any sooner, or...
Try. I mean, that's just, that was a very conservative
estimate.
So that
was his estimate, and our deadline is June, and so if he gets it done sooner, then we're out of compliance.
If he gets it done
sooner. If we get it done before November in 12 months.
Then you're right. It's June 30th, then we're out of compliance.
Right.
We get it done July 1st.
Yeah. So it all depends on how much Carol Morris does and how much help that you can get from.
That's the way it's looking. And what I just try to strip it down so that I try to get Berger AVAM. You know, I know the big issue is public involvement. I wanted to make sure to capture everything that the public had to say. So that's why you'll see them, I think, for one piece, like 5 or 6 meetings, mm-hmm. to have them to help me do that, because it's just me by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I do have put those amounts in the capital and the REIT budget and in the capital project plan. It did reduce our fund balance by that extra $50,000. We hadn't expected to need that amount, so that was pulled down by this. But it is in the preliminary.
Just, and I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but just keep in mind, this is not, if it doesn't get challenged, if it gets challenged, you know,
right.
then we're in
then we're going
hit,
more
bigger
more
problems. I also am trying to do this without having to do an EIS,
mm-hmm.
and some people have to. I'm trying to just do an addendum to the previous CBS information that was done, so
mm-hmm.
just keep that in mind.
Well, do you think there's a better possibility because of the size of the city? Because there hasn't been any change for...
Yeah, right. No, I agree. I mean, I think that that's the case. I think originally when I was hearing previous folks talk about this, the scope was much more bigger than I heard.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes, we were including, obviously, the master plan developments, but we wanted to do a lot of other innovative stuff with the highway and that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff. I think that we try to scale it down and do the bare minimum that we can. I think that is in our favor. And it hadn't been challenged in 09 either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But you never know. I mean, we'll see.
Mayor, I have a question, if I allow
yes.
to. I just want to make sure. We had talked about options before in management meetings coming forth to council with options and making sure we were on right track of what council wanted to see in the comp plan update. So is this, I guess my question is this the bare minimum, Aaron?
It's even less than the checklist that
okay.
we submitted to Commerce. The original checklist that we submitted, we tried to look beyond a little bit more as far as development regulations and those types of things. Again, I've kind of stripped it down to what I've sensed is the most important thing, the transportation element, as well as the capital facilities. Now, also, Yarrow Bay is doing a lot of that work. Again, I'm going to have to borrow a lot of that in developing this, but again, we also wanted to have a little bit of independence in my mind, as
mm-hmm.
far as, you know, there's,
yeah.
I'm not trying to defend Yarrow Bay, but there are other things in the town besides Yarrow Bay, too. So,
well, you wanted in the best interest of the city. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's yes. So the answer is this is as scaled down as we can get it. I guess you know, like with the parks comp plan, we did that all on our own. I mean, I guess we could give it a shot, but I'll be honest, I don't have the expertise to do the capital facilities forecasting. I just don't. That's, you know, a 20-year projection, engineers involved, that kind of thing. I wish I did, but I. And Seth is at as far as what he's trying to do.
And we don't really even have a very good forecast of the of the phase development, how that's going to come in. I mean, there's nothing written down about that anywhere.
The utilities, the best we have are 6-year CIPs. So that's, we have to build off what we
off
have.
Of what
now,
we have.
Commerce said that to me. They said, you know, you probably have more than you think you do. And I'm hoping. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We'll do the best we can.
Yeah.
The water pump.
Parks, we're not doing it. We just can't do it right now. We just cannot. So we'll lose that eligibility until we come into back to compliance. But we do have wire room. We have wire room.
Maybe.
Not
maybe.
Very much, though.
Maybe. And I think I saw something in the transportation. I saw something about
Yeah.
The trails and that, and you know, like I think that's I think that's even more important than the parks themselves, actually.
So, what would be helpful to me is if I know what my next action is. Can I bring a contract forward to move forward with this? It sounds like that's okay, or
we'd have to get consensus because it's a work study, right. So they can't take action.
I understand. I'm just looking for that. Just
that.
To help me. Yeah. No. Because that's my next step.
Okay. I'm good with it.
Yeah. May? Awesome. The 2014 budget, this 150,000, what percent is that of our budget?
Pardon? What?
150, I don't know, I'm just not quick tonight. 150,000.
What is it you're looking at?
What percent is that of our 2014 budget?
This is
of our total.
This is on this sheet of paper. It's right on that here. Sheet of paper right there.
Right here.
74,000 for 2014, and then whatever minus 159 would be what you're going to contribute.
Yeah.
None of that comes out of the general fund. It's all.
And it breaks it down. This is
I still want to know that.
This is the 149,000 total that we're going to be paying for the grand total.
Mm-hmm.
And we've spent 12,000 and we have another 137 next year. And 20.
This is a budgeting item in my head. So I will figure it out. I want to know how much this is of our regular operating budget for 2014.
It's not part of the operating budget.
I understand that it's not part of it. I still want to know how much it is. How much percent it is. How much percent it is. Even though it's outside budget, I still want to know how much percent it is.
Are you asking?
Yeah, so we're about 5.5.
4 million?
Well, that'll work. So that's, okay. Quite a lot.
Does council have any questions for Mr. Nix?
No, thank you.
Well, I just think we need to move through this as fast as we can. Because if we don't have any money, we won't be able to do any projects.
That's right. Well, you got Andy, the salesman.
Can I make it happen? Yeah. He'll pull his hair out. Yours is already gone.
I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make
whatever
a motion
you need
to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
We need some heat.